You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH.
I've got my video off.
Oh, good. Hold on. I thought it was still fucking up. I think I worked out what it was. My power pack thing, like I had it plugged in. It said plugged in, not charging. So yeah. I was like, okay, that's weird. What's going on there? It's 62% battery, so it should still be, you know, running.
Yeah.
I turned it off, and then I got this, like, oops, it's like pin hook thing.
Yeah.
Supposed to be for like popping pimples or whatever.
Yeah.
And I like stuck it in the power fucking socket and like moved one of the pins over. I don't even know what I did, but now it seems to be working.
The fuck?
Yeah, like all my... I even went to the desperate extreme of opening Microsoft Edge instead of Google Chrome.
Jesus.
Because I had like a few Bandcamp windows open and they were just constantly refreshing.
Yeah.
And every time I try and load Skype, it would drop out altogether. So I was like, maybe it's Chrome. So I went and like opened Microsoft Edge, and it was like, hi, we haven't seen you for a while. Do you want to make us your default browser? I'm like, don't get too cocky.
Fuck no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck
out of here.
Opened. It was slightly faster for a few seconds, and then it started like dogging out as well. And I'm like, okay, good. It's not a Google specific thing. You can go back to bed, Microsoft Edge. It was hitting me up, asking me like, what did it ask? Please, would you like to rate our app within like 5 seconds of me opening it?
Oh, God.
Nope. It's like, no, not now. I clicked. It really helps us if you give us 5 stars, please, please. It's like desperately clawing at my ankles.
please rate me.
Yeah.
Episode of Sunny. Dennis wants to be a 5-star man. 5-star man.
5 browsers later, it's on top of my it's got always on top ticked, and it's yelling, "I'm a golden god" across my speakers. we'll start out with Race Trader. We've been getting a lot of emails from Bandcamp because Joe subscribed to their thingo for the Toilet of Hell main account, so every time they put up a shirt or something, we get like Race Trader has got a new piece of merch.
Oh yeah,
they had some alright merch though.
That bum.
They also had one that I would never wear in public. It was like, not because I disagree with the message, but basically because I don't want the confrontation. It's like, defeat white supremacy, no human is illegal, abolish ICE shirt. I'm like, wearing that in Western Sydney.
I'd just be
asking for people to fights. Yeah, with all the bogans who are like, oh, but they're not doing it the right way. They didn't come here the right way. Holy shit.
Oh, God.
Not that we have ICE here, but we do have people that call asylum seekers illegals, which is just completely fucked up.
Yeah. When I went to see Race Trader, they opened up for like Genocide Pact and Primitive Man and Full of Hell.
Yep.
And there was some jackass right behind me in a Hank Williams III shirt, like Confederate flag fucking font for Hank's name, and I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the vocalist for Race Traitor, he was talking about how, you know, he's of Iranian descent and his grandmother still lives in Iran. And with us, like, in our current hard-on for trying to go to war with Iran, he's talking about, you know, how concerned he is about her still being over there and, you know, what could happen. And this piece of shit behind me is just like, oh my god, just shut up and play music.
What?
It's like, it's just like, blah, 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 stop talking. It's like, oh my god.
Stop getting off, political.
Yeah, right?
Why is Race Traitor political? Keep your politics out of music.
Did you not know what you were signing up for going to this show?
Fucking, I feel like I'm brain dead a lot of the time, and then I remember those sort of people exist, and I'm like, oh no, it's okay. I'm not that stupid.
This thing's going all right.
Yeah.
Anytime I feel dumb, it's like it's not that bad. Like, yeah.
On the way to my one of my job sites that I go to, like, just out, you know, in a small, very small town, population of like maybe 2,000, just outside on the outskirts of Sydney, there's a tree with a memorial sign where someone's obviously died. You know, often you'll see flowers or like a little cross or something, but this person has dedicated this entire tree from like even above my height, like, so what, like fucking, let's say 9 feet high, massive board with a Confederate flag, the Confederate symbols up and down it, like, rest in peace fucking, you know, Robbo or whatever the fuck he's called. It's like, what has this got to do with this guy? Where, like,
yeah,
he's ostensibly an Australian who's died on the side of the road somewhere, you know, probably in like a motorbike accident, and they've just like multiple Confederate flags with like proud fucking such and such. Like, what are you doing? You know, it's so weird to see.
How does the Pride Not Prejudice argument work for Australia?
I've driven past it a lot, and every time it baffles me, but I think he's part of like a motorcycle like gang, like one of the bikies, because a lot of them use like Confederate flags and stuff on their patches as like a sign of rebellion. And growing up, I never thought once or twice about it, because it's like, it's just a symbol that I associated with them. But yeah, now that I'm older, I'm like, what has that got to do with here? Why here?
I was in Italy, and I saw a fucking truck on someone's front lawn that was just like covered in Confederate flags. The hood was painted as a Confederate flag, the fucking tailgate. I was like, what? How? Why? Is this in... What?
The worst bit is you can't even hang it upside down, like Mussolini, because it's reciprocal. It still looks the same or whatever. Hey,
like, you just have to... You have to fucking come on it to show your disrespect. You gotta come and shit on it, and then hang it.
Drop
those
massive
stains.
Drop a massive grunt right on the center. Yeah, that's fucking bizarre. Come on, Italy. Do better than, you know, Australia.
I don't think they will.
I might as well include what we've just said, because it kind of pertains. That wasn't our intro, but fuck it. We'll just start off somewhere in there. You've just heard Race Traitor, obviously. They've put a track up on this massive fucking 33 track compilation called Riffs for Reproductive Justice, put up by Black Flags Over Brooklyn, which I don't think it's a label. I think it's just a festival, right?
Yes, it was the anti-fascist festival that Kim Kelly put on in New York. I don't know where in New York.
Brooklyn
sounds right. I only know like three cities in New York, so I'm going to guess one of those three.
Brooklyn, just down the road from
New York City.
Bed-Stuy?
I don't know. If it's not Central Texas, which is larger than like every other state combined, I don't know.
Yeah. So, we said there's 33 tracks.
There's a lot of really good stuff on there.
Yeah, I haven't got all the way through it yet. There's a few cover tracks, like there's a, you know, Red Bait, who the guys on the main podcast had an interview with the other week. They did a Dead Kennedys, Nazi Punks Fuck Off. They are doing a Lead Belly cover.
And it's so fucking cool. I've been waiting on that cover for ages because I saw them play it live like 3 or 4 years ago. And I was like, I think that was a Lead Belly song, but I'll never find that anywhere. I haven't been able to hunt it down since. And they finally released it. It's like, yeah.
Yep. I think there's a couple of live tracks as well. I think the Dawn Rage track is live. A couple of demos. There's an Emma Ruth Rundle demo on there, which I was wrapped with. Lots of good bands. Immortal Bird, False, Woe.
It's a really sick mix of bands and types of songs.
Yep.
And all of the proceeds are going to National Network of Abortion Funds and Yellowhammer Fund.
Yep.
Which is super rad.
Yeah, so chuck them $5 and...
Yeah, $5 for 33 songs and for a good cause is like the most no-brainer deal of the week.
Obviously, you can donate more. I'm sure they'd be happy with that. They're not going to return it.
Last I saw, they were almost at $15,000 raised already.
Excellent. So a lot of good artists, a good cause, good riffs. Get amongst it. I'll put a link down below so you can go pick it up.
Listen to it. Shit on a Confederate flag. Or come. Your choice.
Yeah. Because it instantly would... it should instantly, like... make you flaccid. You shouldn't be able to come onto it by rights. You should, unless it's...
That's how you show how mad you are with it, how much you hate it.
Unless it's on fire, just and then like
determined.
That...
Determined.
You can climax to it being on fire. Next, we're going to play a band who were featured on that compilation, but we're going to play a new track from them from their upcoming album, False. Kit wanted to play this one a couple of weeks ago because he's been digging the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
So we're finally...
I love False.
We're finally done with our theme weeks. Although I guess the theme for this one could be... Nah, fuck it. It's just a mixed bag. We're back on our bullshit. The album's going to be called Portent, and it's out on Gilead Media. I think it comes out next week, so you don't have long to go now. We've both been fortunate enough to hear the album... pre-release, and it's very good.
It's fantastic.
Kit wrote me a message like the day after getting it. He's like, it's insanely good. And I was like, up to the second track, I think. I was like, oh yeah, this is pretty cool. And then I said to him, like, by the time I got halfway through the third track, I was like, holy fuck, he wasn't wrong. This is it's hard to describe, really, because you're a big fan of their first album. Hey, it their first Untitled?
Untitled. Untitled, self-titled.
How do you think this one compares to that? Big step up, or?
I don't know if I'd say like huge leap, but I'd say it's a step up for sure. It is. It sounds more sonically varied to me, to my stupid ears.
Yep.
And they kind of play around with melody a little bit more.
Yeah, there was a few melodies. They're kind of like they got that majestic vibe that like.
Yeah, they're like soaring. Anthemic kind of bit.
It's like I pictured it like stuff sort of like when on that last Temple album where they went for big grand sounds and I imagined it like being them playing second wave black metal with a bit of that trebly black Twilight Circle twang sort of appearing every now and then outside of the central flow of it all, but it is quite varied, but you know, I'd say mostly falls into black metal with a bit of atmosphere added in, I guess, but it's not airy fairy atmosphere. It's pretty strong.
It's still very much in that Emperor wheelhouse that they've been in.
Yeah. It's four tracks, but only three of them are kind of tracks. The last one is like a, what do you call that? Like a prologue or epilogue or whatever the thing at the end of something's called. outro. Yeah.
I think they call it Prolude on the album, which I assume is just like prologue, interlude,
okay,
thing.
But yeah.
Just like a little outro, minute outro track. But yeah, those other three songs range from like 12 to 16 minutes each. Yep. So
and then you've got your 1 minute epilogue or whatever at the end. So you're getting a full album.
Yeah.
And the amount of riffs that you get is fucking awesome. It's out on July 12th. The track we're going to play is called A Victual for Our Dead Selves. I'll put a link down below so you can go ahead and pre-order that shit.
You should.
Yes, especially just for that third track. I really wanted that one to come out. It's called The Serpent Sting and The Smell of Goat. But the second half of that track absolutely kills.
That's the goat smell part, the second half.
Yeah. Yep, we're partial to it.
You know it's good.
It's got a big Morris Lewandowski cover, who's done fucking heaps lately, actually. Like,
yeah, he's having a big year.
We played, what was it, Fuming Mouth the other week, and that had that. Yep. We were talking about how much we enjoy the sort of light blue, grey, and fucking orangey red palette.
He's single-handedly bringing them into style.
It looks like, has he done that new Mizmor cover too that just got announced?
Yep.
Because that looks like his style, but
he did.
There's not as much light blue in that one. Yeah, it's more like that Sepulchre cover with his sort of earthy palette.
Maybe he's just gonna get like more orange as time goes on.
Oh no, don't turn into
fade into blue.
Yeah, don't do just brown like Paolo Girardi. Don't fall into that. So we'll play A Victual for Our Dead Selves now.
We'll be right back.
All right, so that was False from Portent. Album's going to be out on July 12th through Gilead Media. We'll put a link down below. Next, we're going to play Witch Vomit. It's another one that Kit wanted to play last week, but we had our... What was our theme last week? Was it Doom?
Yeah. Witch Vomit's not quite Doom.
No. We were gonna shoehorn it in anyway, but for the greater good, we showed some restraint for once. About
iPhones.
I cannot unsee that now. yeah, Kit noticed that the Crypt Sermon cover has an anachronistic element. It's got an iPhone trying to fly out of a skeleton's hand. A skelly boy. So yeah, go look that up while you're listening to this new Witch Vomit track.
It's another controversy.
You'd be used to that. Or has Betsy DeVos turned all of your textbooks into fundamental Christian creationist science textbooks yet, or what?
I'm not sure if she's succeeded just yet, but
she's trying.
She's fucking trying.
Yeah. That wretch. She's got to be like 90 years old.
She's literally just like a skeleton with some skin color painted saran wrap put over it.
Yes. Her and Kellyanne Conway are just like, they're literally straight from a horror movie.
They're the same person.
Yeah. They have to be in like some sort of Dawn of the Dead type Night of the Living Dead scenario in the future. when this administration burns down to the ground, they'll find those two just still alive, undead. Which Vomit sort of... Yeah,
I was like, can you imagine those shambling corpses like chasing after you?
Yeah. Trying to steal your healthcare. they need it. Which brings us... That's a nice segue to Witch Vomit, which is the band we're about to play, because they're both fucking witches. I won't accept all these the new age interpretation of witches being all cool and, you know, burning candles and hanging out on Tumblr. My version of a witch is still deeply ingrained in the 80s. The disgusting folklore with a big, you know, warty nose trying to steal children. That's the witch I think of when I hear Witch Vomit.
I really like the interpretation from The Witch, where it's just like a naked old lady who's grinding up stolen babies and then rubbing the ground up baby on herself and her broom so she can fly away.
That gives her the power.
Yeah. Okay. Fueled by ground up baby.
Cool. They should. That's an interesting take. They should have made it more specific. They should have made it more specific and made it just like crushing up Harry Potter fans. They have to be Harry Potter fans, and that's what makes the broom fly. Is that the witch, the one that has like two V's, like the black metal fucking?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I remember Joe and a few others were talking about that when it came out. My mind went to the... Was it Witches? It had like... Was that Barbara Streisand or some shit?
Angelica Houston.
Oh, yeah.
Where she turns the kid into a rat or a mouse.
Yeah, they made us watch that in like year one at school, and it was kind of fucked up. Like, that's pretty freaky for an eight-year-old.
There is literally nothing more horrifying to 8-year-old me than at the end when she turns into like the giant rat monster lady.
Yeah,
that's fucking horrific.
What were they trying to do to us? Like,
I don't. Between that and saying like Gremlins is fine, it's PG.
Yeah,
absolutely not.
Oh yeah, Angelica Houston. I've
been a salad for like 20 years because of Gremlins 2 and that goddamn. Salad gremlin. I don't want tomatoes. Fuck off.
It says here Rowan Atkinson was in Witches too. I don't remember that. I don't know if I want to rewatch it. I feel like I'm going to rehash some fucked up childhood repressed memories from like 7 or 8 year old me, like just being aghast at what we were being forced to watch.
Well, the good news is they're remaking it, so you can just experience the horror all over again.
You can just say that for anything, and it's true. It's like, oh, that thing you liked in 1990? Yeah, they're remaking that. Are they going to make the witches, like, transgender or something just to fucking piss off the conservatives? And well, no, they're doing it for inclusivity, and then they just piss off all the conservatives who are like, little mermaids can't be black. What the fuck?
God, that has been a whole shit show.
Yeah. I don't know how, like, these people aren't invested in it at all. None of them fucking care. It's just the culture war bullshit.
I have a coworker, the, like, 28-year-old white dude, and he doesn't watch movies. He said, like, oh, I don't really care about movies. I don't really watch movies. And he was super mad about the casting of Ariel being a black woman. He's like, oh, I'm not going to go see that movie. I was like, dude, you weren't going to go fucking see that movie anyway. Yeah. Like, fuck off. Like,
you should hit him with the, you're just virtues, or you're, anti-virtue signaling. Yeah.
Whatever the opposite of virtue signaling is.
Yeah. Fucking a virtue. What's the opposite of virtue? Republican. I can't think of virtue antonym. There has to be an antonym to that. Antonyms: vice, iniquity. Vice doesn't really work. You're vice signaling. People just think you're writing articles about drugs. For Gavin McInnes. Iniquity. They're a cool band. Anyway, I'm off that rabbit hole. So, yeah, back to what are we doing? Witch Vomit. $20 bin are on a roll, as everyone knows. This is like their fifth massive death metal release of the year. If you include...
Is it only five?
Well, if you include...
I feel like I'm giving the money every other week.
Yeah. If you include, like, Superstition, it's more. But, I don't know, I tend to think of Superstition as more Black Thrash, I guess. I don't know. What have we had? We've had Witch Vomit, Cerebral Rot, Tomb Mold... Ossuarium, Fetid, Spirit Adrift, but you know, they're not really death metal, but still, that was a huge release.
I was counting Superstition in the death metal bracket.
And you add to that, they've had, just looking here, they've had Immortal Bird,
Noisem, Triumvir Foul.
Yeah, there's a... I didn't get into the new Triumvir Foul. I think I liked their first record, and then their second one didn't hit me as much, and then this one, the Urine of Abomination, was just like, eh, okay.
It's good.
I'm not digging it anymore. Magic Circle. Not a fan of that. That sucked. That was
the lone thing that I have not enjoyed of their releases this year.
I know a lot of people were sort of pretty happy with it, and I guess it's not for me, but I don't know. I have liked stuff in that style before. That just seemed like Black Sabbath minus all the coolness that they got from drugs. It's like straight edge Sabbath. That shit sucks. There's also Mylinga, which is that rad Polish, I think they're Polish, black metal. So yeah, huge fucking year for $20 spin. They'll probably have a whole heap of people say that it's trendy poser shit now, but you know, you don't listen to those people. They're just doing the opposite of virtue signaling, whatever that is again. posing massively. So yeah, this Witch Vomit track is called Dripping Tombs. It's the only track out so far. The album doesn't come out until the end of August, but you can pre-order it now. It's called Buried Deep in a Bottomless Grave. So I take it that means you're just still falling into the center of the earth. I don't know, but there's a
just like toss you in the hole in the ground, and it's like, oh shit, we dug it infinitely.
We forgot to put a bottom on that grave. Did you put a Frampton bottom on that one?
Stole the bottom.
Yeah. And you can see that on the cover. He's just obviously dropped the corpse down there, and he's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, shit. He's going a while.
Yeah, when do you start filling it up? You can't. You don't know when it ends. So we'll play Dripping Tombs now. So that was Witch Vomit with Dripping Tombs. You covered, you gave a premiere of their song off their previous release, right?
Yeah, their EP.
Yeah, that one was pretty well received. Have they had an album in between? I feel like I've missed a release of theirs.
Mm-mm.
That was their last thing, was it?
Yep.
Cool.
Poison Blood, I think was the name.
Right, and we had an interview as well. I've just done a quick search.
I asked them what color a witch's vomit was.
So I'll link that down below.
Such are my interview skills.
Yes. I'll link that down below so you can go read their answer to what color is a witch's vomit? Does it smell like children? You can see how they respond to Kit's interrogation skills. Next we're going to play No One Knows What the Dead Think, which is something that's risen from the ashes of Discord and Taxis, the seminal grind three-piece. I think this is only two-thirds of them, because Dave's still doing his... well, he's doing 100 fucking things. That's what he's doing. So this is John and Rob with a different drummer.
I don't know who's on drums.
Yeah. It's, to my ears, it was more... Like, everyone's going to mention Discord and Taxis because of how important that album was to grind, but to my ears, it sounded more towards, like, the Gridlink sound than Discordance. You know, it's like that mathy Dillinger Escape Plan type spazzo shit. Scrams? I don't know. What is Scrams? I'm too old to know for sure. Is it just like
any idea.
Is it just, like, noisy math rock?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's like that, hey. It's like if I might have heard it, but fucked if I could describe it to you.
I Hope You Suffer podcast co-host name on Twitter is Gordon Scramsey. That's... So he listens. So Nathan,
right in.
Please explain to us what scrams are, because we're dumb.
Call in. see if you can get Skype to work, because we sure as fuck can't.
No. Fucking an hour and a half later, finally, you're recording.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's why I thought to ask you. It's like, because I see it come up, Gordon Scramsey. And I'm like, maybe Kit knows what Scramsey is. I've heard it thrown around a bit, but not so much in our circles, because we're stupid metalheads. We're not cool kids.
Know about the screams, not the scrams.
So this track we're going to play...
Maybe we've been saying scrambled eggs wrong this whole time. They're scrambled eggs.
Yeah, I'm surprised there's not an Australian abbreviation for scrambled eggs. Maybe it'd just be Scrambo. Who knows? We abbreviate everything else, so it's weird that we don't have one for scrambled eggs. The album is going to be called... It's self-titled, so it's called No One Knows What the Dead Think. The track we're going to play is the first track from the album called Yorha. Comes out on September 20th through Willowtip, so you got a while to wait for this one, but we'll link the pre-orders down below. There's a couple of t-shirts and shit you can pick up. I thought it was a really long album, but just looking here, the last 10 tracks, say they're all the same tracks again, but they're called... They've got karaoke in brackets after it.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I guess they're just like instrumental versions of those tracks.
That would make more sense. I was picturing it the other way, if they've just left the vocals on. which would be pretty confronting and fucked up. So we'll play that now. We'll see you in a couple of minutes. That was No One Knows What the Dead Think with Yorha, out on September 20th through Willowtip. Next we've got one that old toilet Wolf. What's his son of Wolf? I was trying to think of his screen name so I don't dox him. He brought to our attention the other day. It's called Cruel Spring by a band called Needle Play. They're like a six-piece math fusion jazz core, they describe themselves as, which is better than the description I could put to it, because there's like 20 tracks and they cover a fair bit of ground. There's like piano and vocal-only bits and spazzy syrupus. Yeah, no karaoke.
I'm not a fan. All karaoke covers of Four Non Blondes.
So they're from Boston. No, actually, I said that like a Texan then. They do a lot of H's or something, don't they? New England people.
Boston? Bow?
Boston. There's, maybe if you just say something racist and then yell Go Sox or whatever, you'll be... So like I said, there's 20 tracks on here. They're all... Some are like 1 minute, some are 5 minutes. They're all different vibes, so... If you don't particularly like the track we play, definitely go back and listen to some of the others, because they have very cool names too. there's a track called Kaka Talsen. There's K-Holes at Kmart. Active Shooter Profile. There's a track just called Oof, OOF, all caps. April Cruel's Dumpster Baby. So, the... Embracing the Weird. The track we're going to play is called Naysayer. It's only a couple of minutes long, but it's fun and interesting and different, kind of experimental. I'll put a link down below so you can pick up their album. Some of this record is actually quite like pretty and, you know, not fucked up sounding, so yeah, don't judge it all by this one track, but we'll play it now. Quick beheading video.
Video before bed.
Nothing gets me off to sleep like a fucked up ISIS video.
That's not in my wheelhouse.
Yeah. Next we're going to play Jute Geit, which I don't even know if that's how you say it. I haven't put any effort into learning it.
That's how I've been saying it for years, so I hope it's right.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to try and relearn.
So, we've given Adam a fair bit of coverage on the site before. I'm pretty sure Richter interviewed him maybe two or three records ago about some of the weird shit that he does. This one just came out last week. As usual, he's doing bizarre, random, I don't know what you'd call it.
Stuff.
Pitches, yeah. He usually gives a description. I think he gives himself rules, or like he sets out a standard set of parameters and then uses like a microtonal guitar and, you know, all kinds of pitch shifting and fucked up rhythms and stuff to determine how the music is going to sound. So it says here on this one, he's several tracks on the album draw from the aleatorically generated 24 note series. So it's a random set of notes.
I don't know what any of that shit means.
Yeah. So
does it riff?
Yeah. kind of. Some of the other tracks on the album are just like more electronic, but we're going to play the first one called Angelus Novus, and it's got guitars. I can say that definitely.
Definitively.
Yeah, definitively. There's guitars. So, yeah, I don't know. This stuff is a bit of a... It's a bit beyond my comprehension.
I got a caveman brain.
Yeah. I'm embracing that side of my brain because it suits me. I'm lazy. There was a time where I'd go down a Wikipedia fucking wormhole and just like, you know, oh, that means this. Oh, look at this book. Oh, he's mentioned, you know, fucking some shit here, and I'll like look that up, and then I'll end up 20 pages deep and be like, okay, I feel like I've learned something, but now I'm like, no, because that's pushing out information I need to know. Like
forgot how to shit.
Yeah. How am I supposed to shit on these Confederate flags when I've learned about Carlo Micciasta's persuasion and rhetoric instead? Like, it's name your price, so you're not losing anything if you want to go jump off into the you're abyss. Gonna get weird. You've probably already.
I don't understand how he puts out so much music that's so weird.
I think,
you know, that's incredible.
My thing is, I think, whereas it might seem like a hindrance to us, I think it might actually help having the rules. Like, not to say that it's not as creative, but when you've got something that's sort of defining how you should approach composition, it might actually aid the process somehow. Like, it wouldn't for me, but I can see how, like,
yeah, if you've given yourself a certain set of parameters to work within, like, you have that line of sight to the end.
It's a very reductive analogy, but sometimes when I'm writing, I find using alliteration helps me just get something out, whereas before I'd just be sitting there like, I don't know what the fuck to say. But if I, like, I have a problem with alliteration where it's like, I just want to do it for fucking no real reason, and it sucks, but it helps me like describe something because I'm like, oh, I have to think of a verb beginning with A, and it's like, yeah. I'll come up with something. So I don't know, maybe having these insane fucking rules that he gives himself, although he does say on this one that this album was written more freely than the last few, so make of that what you will. There's some quite long songs on here with some cool fucking names. But we'll play the first track now, and we might see you on the other side. I don't know what to make of most of this stuff. Someone in the comments is like, this makes Scaife and Achilles become rather pleasant in comparison, which is
fair.
Really saying something.
No, I tried whenever what was it? I think it was the green covered one.
I think that's the one I've heard like most of as well.
It was Perdurance or Ship of Theseus.
Yep.
I tried with those two and was like, nope, this isn't for me.
I think just reading that green one, the description for the green Perdurance, it was like the ratios of tempos and stuff is like, that's ringing a bell. And for me, someone who can't even like count a 13/8 bar or whatever, you know, like I don't know.
Yeah.
I just pick up a guitar and play dumb riffs. Like I don't even think what time signature they're in. So trying to extrapolate his 4/5/6 ratio of tempo is like, what? Okay, my brain hurts, dude. I just want to go to bed. But yeah, cool. People are pushing music into new spaces.
And it's a dope concept, and I'm glad he's doing it, but it's not for me.
I can imagine going to a concert too, like, and just standing there just like, okay, I'm gonna go home now. Do we have any nature news for this week? What have we got? I've got an octopus who's apparently octopus arms are capable of making decisions without input from their brains. And I'm like,
no, fuck that.
Well, you know, any teenage boy who's ridden on a bus knows that your appendages can move without input from your brain. So I don't know. That's not that fucking insane to me. Their arms have a neural ring that bypasses the brain, and so the arms can send information to each other without the brain being aware of it.
Weird.
So while the brain isn't quite sure where the arms are in space, the arms know where each other are, and this allows the arms to coordinate during actions like crawling, locomotion.
Huh.
I want to know more about the color changing, because that's the coolest fucking thing.
I don't know if you know this, but there's a war coming with the sea. And we stand no chance.
Yeah.
The octopi are going to lead the charge, and we're so fucked.
Maybe that's why, like, all the whales and seals and all the mammals that were once on the land, they knew, they could see it coming. They preempted it, and they're like, fuck these, so let's get back in.
Yeah.
Let's get
back. They saw that octopus hide itself in a coconut, and they're like, oh, yep, we got to follow that guy.
That guy is God.
They yank that fucking bird into the sea. Like, fuck. All right.
Yep. So we're about to. I'm just gonna go spend the rest of the day straining myself to grow gills. Just really concentrating on getting the gills going.
I'm gonna tape some. I don't know, like weird little plastic appendages to myself and try and pass for an octopus.
It'd be like that fucked up scary looking doll thing on Toy Story.
Yeah.
The fucking what is it,
baby like doll head on the spider legs.
Yeah. It'd just be a Kit bobblehead on top of some sort of octopus that you picked up at the seafood markets.
That's definitely the play, I think.
Alright. We'll be back next week, and we might have a special surprise for everyone, which...
it's an octopus.
I will not elaborate on it.
Taken over.
I'm not going to elaborate on that whatsoever. See you next week. Yeah, we should do the... once next time.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I was like, what is the special surprise? I don't even know. I was like, wow, that's a really good surprise.
Surprise.